This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. A lot of random stuff going on today in terms of the stories that we're following. We got the Commanders' ongoing search for a wide receiver two. How will they go about that search? Will they even in earnest go about that search? And also, what are the options as Chris Godwin and the Bucks apparently are getting closer to a deal? We'll give you the latest on that about 10 minutes from now. Clint Yates on the show a little bit later. Jesse Dougherty wrote a really great story on the ever-evolving world of college sports that we'll talk to him about a little bit later. And at 5 o'clock, the NFL announced its salary cap today, or a range, and it's higher than expected. So what's that mean for the league? What's that mean for Washington? J.I. Halsell joins us, NFL agent and salary cap analyst, for Not My Beat at 5 o'clock. But we start today talking about another kind of, like, there's no main story today in terms of, oh, we must talk about this. There's a bunch of things happening that all could affect the Commanders. Obviously, the salary cap stuff directly affects Washington in the most obvious of way. You have to be pretty silly not to figure out, oh, hey, the salary cap's bigger. That affects Washington. Does that affect the Commanders? No, the Commanders were actually going to use the old estimate no matter what. No, of course, that it affects Washington. The cap this year will be about $22 million higher. Great. And again, we'll talk to J.I. at 5 about what that means. And how much higher that is, not than 2024, which is kind of irrelevant. It's how high did we think it was going to be? And as the team plans, like, what other kind of space is available? So that's one thing. But this one might have slipped past you as something that you need to pay attention to as a Washington fan. The Chargers are going to open next season in Sao Paulo. The Eagles and the Packers, of course, played the first ever NFL game in Brazil this season. They wound up rematching in the playoffs, and then obviously the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl. So if, you know, season starts in Sao Paulo, ends in the Super Bowl, excellent. Love that. I can't remember if the Eagles were designated as the home team or whether they were the away team. But the Chargers are the designated home team, and the Commanders are on the Chargers' schedule as an away game. So I tend to think that Washington is not going to open the season on Sunday next year, unless they open on a Sunday night with, I don't know, do they go Ben Johnson's first game with the Bears against the Commanders, and the Commanders get to host Sunday Night Football in the Hail Mary rematch? Like, that could be a thing, because I believe the Bears are on the schedule next year because the NFC North is on the schedule. So that could be an option for Sunday, or frankly the Monday nighter. But I look at the first two games that are going to be played on the NFL schedule next year, and why wouldn't you want Jaden Daniels either playing the Eagles at home on Thursday night in a Super Bowl rematch, or playing in Brazil against the Chargers. You get Herbert versus Daniels, Harbaugh versus Quinn, two kind of very similar up-and-coming type of teams that way outperformed expectations last season, squaring off to start their seasons in Brazil. It just seems too juicy to pass up if you're the NFL to do this for one of these games. And again, are there other options? Sure. Obviously, the Eagles cannot play in Sao Paulo again because they're opening at home on Thursday. But if the Chargers have, I don't know what the Chargers' other road opponents are. That probably was something I should have looked up before the show, something I'll look up right now. But let's say if they're playing the NFC East, which they are, which is why the Commanders are on their schedule, the Cowboys are always something the NFL would like to mess with, and I think sending the Cowboys to South America is certainly something that they would possibly have. And if you look at the Chargers, no, I don't want notifications from the Chargers. Just let me look at their opponents. Chargers road opponents. They have the Broncos, Chiefs, and Raiders, the Jags, and the Titans. I mean, if you wanted to send Anthony as punishment to those teams, do you send the Jags or Titans to South America? And if they can't score more than 10 points, they have to stay there.
They have to stay there. It's crazy.
Actually, no, we'll take them back. We're not going to do that to Brazil. That's not very nice. Brazil's a lovely place.
I mean, it already sucks that Germany got two games of the Jags last year. So
I apologize. So that's the road opponents. So they'll be at Jacksonville, at Tennessee. So the home opponents are the Broncos, Chiefs, and Raiders, the Texans, and the Colts. Mm. I could see them doing Texans, Chargers week one in Sao Paulo.
I mean,
They kind of did the conference bash thing, and you know, last year too, right? If Packers Eagles is the one template we have, do it, Texans Stroud versus Herbert, like two teams that are going to be battling for the AFC playoffs. Can one of them break into that top tier with the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs? That's appealing. I could see that being a thing.
I just think Jaden Daniels, the attention that he's been given since his rookie season has ended, I just think they're going to do as much as they can to, you know, try to put this guy into prime television spot. So I think Friday to see, you know, him year two, I think that's as juicy as it gets, just because it's year two. We don't know if this guy's going to fall into a sophomore slump, but everybody seems to think he's on the up and up. The Commanders are going to be on the up and up. So what better way to, you know, start their season than a Friday night game?
I could definitely see it. Like, it's definitely there. By the way, if you want to hear why Jaden Daniels is likely not going to have a sophomore slump, we talked about that to open the mailbag episode of Take Command, which is available now in your podcast feeds from yesterday. So check that out. And then we got Mock Draft 1.0 from Take Command, by the way, coming tomorrow. So check that out. That'll be out first thing in the morning because we recorded it today. But, you know, the Chargers, other options. The Steelers are always a draw, I think, for the league, in the same way that the Packers are a draw. So I could see them sending the Steelers there. The Vikings? Maybe, for sure, and that's the list, because the Eagles are obviously out, and then they could do their divisional opponents, which I think is also a possibility. Any of them, frankly. Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders are a little bit harder sell, but Pete Carroll's first game, etc. So I think it's interesting. And then when you look at Washington, how could they open up week one? I mean, if they want to give Washington a home game, they could have them host the Bears in Ben Johnson's first game. Caleb versus Jaden part two. They can do, obviously they can't host the Eagles week one, but they could be at the Eagles for sure. They could host the Cowboys. They could host the Giants. That's always going to be a big deal. And the Giants might have a rookie quarterback. So is that something that is appealing to the NFL for whatever reason? And then they have the Lions at home as well. So do you get the NFC divisional round rematch? That's a possibility. I don't know that they would make them open on the road, but if you wanted a marquee Sunday or Monday night game, you could put them at Atlanta. That was a big game last year. Penix in year two, at Kansas City, at Green Bay, at any of the division opponents. So, you know, the Dolphins are kind of a sexy team. Like, The Commander schedule, Vikings, you know, they could do that. J.J. McCarthy versus Jaden Daniels, or you'll see what, where Darnold's at. But, like, that's the thing, is because the Commanders are the Commanders, I can make an argument for basically any game on their schedule to say that is worthy of a prime time, any time, but especially week one type of deal. But specifically some of the storylines of the rematch of, you know, last Sunday night game of last season was the Falcons-Commanders game. They got flexed in, and the Commanders win the division. What if they say, Tarico Collinsworth, you're opening Sunday night again. You're going back to Washington. Or sorry, you're actually going to go to Atlanta and get the rematch of that. I could make that argument. So while I think a lot of people are circling that Sao Paulo game for the Commanders to potentially be on the road, I don't think it's a lock by any stretch of the imagination. But would I be surprised if they ultimately, if the NFL was like, that's the team we want to feature? Of course not. Of course not. Because Jaden, I can almost guarantee that Jaden and the Commanders are going to be maxed out. I think six is the maximum allowed primetime games. Mm. I bet you they got six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's Jaden going to be throwing to in those games? Terry, duh, got it. Beyond that, we're not quite sure. What are the options that are going to exist for this team at wide receiver two? And realistically, how much should they spend there? We're going to talk about that, break it down next on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. The Washington Commanders need more wide receivers. I don't just say that as like a, hey, that's analysis, baby. Hey, they got to find someone to help Terry McLaurin. No, they only have two on the roster. They legitimately only have two guys from the end of the season. Now, they might have like a Bryson Tremaine or whoever is on like a futures contract or whatever, and you know, UDFA or practice squad type guys that are going to help fill out the 90. But in terms of like bona fide NFL wide receivers that they have moving forward, Luke McCaffrey and Terry McLaurin are the only two guys that they have. They could certainly look at bringing back Noah Brown. They could certainly look at bringing back Deami Brown, Alamide Zaccheaus, Jameson Crowder, on down the list. But any guy you name that played in burgundy and gold last year, they have to re-sign outside of McCaffrey and McLaurin. And, by the way, McLaurin certainly might have a case to get an extension, and it might behoove them to do the extension now versus next season. So they have contracts to work out with basically everybody. And that really begs the question of, okay, well, what realistically do they do at that position? What is the best path forward? And this comes amidst multiple news pieces that are relevant. Three, really. One, we covered in depth yesterday. T. Higgins gets the franchise tag from Cincinnati. I'm going to say that all but takes him off the board. That's going to cost, not that you have to pay the two firsts or whatever the thing is. Like, you work out the deal between the two teams. But you're going to get either have to give up draft capital and a big contract to T. Higgins. I don't think that it's worth, I love T. Higgins as a player, and I love T. Higgins here as a player. But I don't think it's going to be worth outbidding a bunch of other teams where he is going to say, yes, I'm good with that trade, and the draft capital to make the Bengals okay with it. And that plus his injury history is enough to where I'm like, I'm good. If I could pay T. Higgins somewhere in the $25 million a year range, for reference, I think Justin Jefferson's getting 34. So if I can pay him somewhere in the 25, and he probably deserves 27, 28, to be clear. But if I can somehow get him in the 25, 26 million range for, let's say, 3 to 4 years, and it costs me a singular second round pick, if you tell me I get T. Higgins with my second round pick, I'm okay with it. So I would probably do that, but I don't know that the Bengals are going to go for that. I think they're probably going to want multiple picks, and I think the wide receiver market is going to be hot enough that there's going to be someone else that's willing to give him closer to 30 and give up probably a better second round pick, because that's the other thing too. Let's say the cost is a second round pick. If you're the Bengals, do you want the Patriots' second round pick, which is four picks after the, or five picks, something like that, after the Commanders' first round pick, or do you want the Commanders' second round pick that is very close to the Patriots' third round pick? So I think that is something that is worth considering on all fronts. Today, the Bucs announced that they are, it was reported that the Buccaneers are extending the contract void date for Chris Godwin, which extends their negotiating window. As we saw yesterday, with the Panthers and Andy Dalton, who they agreed to a new deal, you can re-sign your own free agents right now. But there are certain dates that become important based off the individual contracts. And the Bucs had a date that was expiring with Godwin where he was 100% going to free agency if they didn't tag him. And instead, they've extended that window, worked with Godwin, because they're probably working on a long-term extension. So that takes Chris Godwin, wide receiver two on the free agency board, off the market. Then you have the reality that the wide receiver market is kind of crazy. Anthony, how well do you think Darnell Mooney, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, how do you would you make of him last year?
I think he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty solid. Who was more important, him or Saquon Barkley to the Eagles?
Saquon.
How much different do you think their salaries were?
I think Saquon probably would have made a little bit more, maybe like $3 or $4 million, because he only got 12.
They were $13 million a year players.
Oh wow!
Both of them.
Same money.
Same exact money. Mm. So on the free agent market, you can get a Saquon or you can get a Darnell Mooney. And so when you look at Deami Brown, for instance, who had a really nice couple of playoff games, and I think got way better with the opportunities that he got later in the season and proved that he's not a top tier wide receiver two by any stretch, but like he can do that for you in a pinch. And depending on what else you got, if you have a good wide receiver three and like they can be kind of 2A, 2B rotating around, will someone convince themselves that Deami Brown is worth paying Darnell Mooney money? Maybe. Yeah. I think it's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
That his vertical speed, what he ran at the combine, 4.45, the whole deal, showed that he had great, you know, ability to catch the ball through a hand in his face from Jaden in the Lions game, and made some tough catches. His run after the catch, like all that stuff. Will someone convince themselves that Deami Brown is worth Darnell Mooney money? Maybe. Would you rather spend $13 million on Deami Brown or $10 million on Zach Ertz? I'd rather spend $10 million on Zach Ertz. And knowing that that's probably a one-year deal where I'm like, God, I'm going to have to pay Deami $13 million. Like, is he looking at a 3-for-40 type of deal?
Mm.
Right? So I think that is the question in terms of, okay, if you're paying for a top guy, if you're paying for Chris Godwin, you know you're getting Chris Godwin. That level of certainty is worth paying for. That's part of the problem for Higgins is – I know when he's on the field, he's going to be awesome, but his injury history suggests he might not be on the field for more than 12 games a year. Once you get into the we're projecting market, I just rather project on draftable guys because I'd rather pay that guy $1 million, $2 million, and then go bargain bin shopping and see if I can get someone like the Commanders did last year where they got Alamide Zaccheaus for $1.2 million, then pay, you know, again, I would love for them to re-sign Deami if he's actually a $7 or $8 million player. If that dude's getting $13, $14, Deami, my friend, go get paid.
Yeah.
We bid you adieu. Thanks for a great finish to what was at times a frustrating career here, but I know it was frustrating for him too. I bet you Deami often spends time thinking about, man, what if I just had these coaches the entire time? That quarterback the entire time instead of the nonsense. I mean, I know Sam Howell's this guy, but instead of the stuff that he dealt with and Rivera and whatever, like how different is Deami Brown's career if he's got Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury the entire time, who, even though they didn't draft him, figured out, hey, we should maybe throw this guy a screen every now and again. So the question is, if you're the Commanders, how do you address it? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. Who are the, whether you've looked at the free agent class and you know some of the names, some of the draftable guys, there's some guys that I've started to watch a little bit that I'm curious about, some of whom I think will be available at 29. There's other guys that probably won't be, but also I think there's some guys that are intriguing at 61 in the Commanders' second round pick. So we're going to start throwing some actual names around. So whether it's names or just generalities, how do you want to see them address this position? And the last piece of news, by the way, that I forgot to mention is I believe it was Jeremy Fowler was on ESPN saying he thinks that the money is going to go to the Lions. That they're going to try to piece this receiver room together in many ways like they did last year and trust their coaching and their quarterback, make sure that quarterback is protected and the running game is better to support it. So I think that's probably worth mentioning as well. But what say you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your call's next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, if you want to watch us there. Comment sections, nice and active today. The phone number, 301-230-0980. Of course, the YouTube at the Team 980. I feel like I got like three quarters of the way through that sentence and stopped, Anthony. Sometimes my ADD gets the best of me, and I'm just all over the place.
It happens. It's okay, yeah. Man.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's see if I can focus through this, because I have something very, very important to tell everybody.
Oh,
are you ready?
You got something to tell us?
Yeah. Well, you're not eligible, but everybody
Oh,
is.
Come on, man.
I know. I'm so sorry. But if you are not Anthony Haney or anybody else listening that is an Odyssey employee, and you're ready to win big and live it up in Sin City. Actually, I haven't checked the official rules, Anthony. Maybe you are eligible. So are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. So you listen on the Odyssey app, you're logged in. Once you hit an hour, you are automatically entered in your daily entry. However, this is a national contest, so competition is stiff. Make sure you get that hour in every single day for more chances to win. And more details, probably including whether Anthony is eligible or not, are available at odyssey.com/slamdunk. So that's where you go, Anthony, to find out if you're allowed to win. odyssey.com/slamdunk.
I don't think I'll be allowed to win, man.
I don't think you're allowed to win either.
It's okay.
But if your name's not Anthony Haney, and that's just Anthony Haney III, by the way.
Yes.
Your pops, I believe, is... Actually, I don't know if family members are eligible. I feel like it's probably going to be someone that has nothing to do with Odyssey. Slam Dunk in Vegas. Check it out. Listen to us daily on the free Odyssey app. Okay, our question for now. 301-230-0980 is where you answer it. 301-230-0980. What do you want to see the Commanders do to address their wide receiver room? Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey, currently the only two incumbent wide receivers. There are options in the draft. There are options in free agency. The options in free agency seem to be dwindling as T. Higgins has been tagged by the Bengals, and Chris Godwin and the Buccaneers seem to be moving towards a long-term deal. Let's get things started with Mark in Largo, who never has strong opinions. Mark, welcome back to the show.
What's up, Craig? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Oh, that's good. I say we take a stab at Darius Slayton because it'll be cheap, and wait for the 49ers to cut Deebo. You wait for him to get cut, and then you pick him up. There is a stretch, though, that I kind of said. I've been saying this all day, and I don't think it's a stretch, but I think it would never happen. But you can at least investigate. I would call Philadelphia and see what you can get for Devontae Smith, because I don't think he's happy at all in Philadelphia.
Why? Now, what makes you say that he's not happy at all in Philadelphia? They just won a championship.
Let me ask you this: Did you watch the Super Bowl when they were mic'd up? If you watched the Super Bowl when he caught the touchdown in the Super Bowl, He came to the sidelines. I'll never forget, Jalen called him over and said, we got a lot we got to work on. And Devontae said, yeah, we got a lot to work on. And you would think that this is the Super Bowl, man. You're going to win the Super Bowl. You should be happy. Devontae just seemed like he was just not happy. And even when he dropped the pass, when he was playing here, it was like it just brushed off. It wasn't a big deal to him. I just think that, I mean, you know, I don't think, look, just because you won the Super Bowl and you're not getting everything going, I think there's something in play there.
Here's what I'll say about the Philly thing. And then I do want to talk about the other two names you mentioned, because I think obviously those are more realistic for a million reasons. But when guys win rings, sometimes that actually is the thing that sets them free, where it's like, well, now I got the ring. Now let me go see what I can do somewhere else. Like, you think about Tyreek in Kansas City, where he's like, well, now I want to go get paid and I want to be the feature of the offense in a way I'm probably not going to be as long as Travis Kelce is around. The thing is, the one difference I will say for the Philly guys is Tyreek was on his rookie deal. He wanted the get paid part was the most important thing, and the Chiefs had to make a tough decision.
Devontae was on his rookie deal.
Devontae Smith is not on his rookie deal. Okay. He's been paid.
Okay.
And so is A.J. Brown.
Right, he's been paid. Right.
So that does complicate that factor of, one, you're acquiring the salary. Two, is how are we really going to trade one of those two dudes in the division? And I know that they did business during the draft last year, but trading draft picks versus already established players, that's a very different thing. And what is that price? Okay. So I hear – look. If they become available, should Washington inquire? Yes, absolutely. If you can acquire a great player from a division opponent that helps you and hurts them, even if you're going to give them something they want, that clearly is something that's worth investigating. But I want to, Mark, thanks for the call. As always, appreciate it. The other two names you mentioned are the ones that include one that's really interesting to me. I love the idea of going after Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton's been playing in New York. He is seemingly always underused. Now, maybe I'll watch more tape of him, and I got to go back and watch like actual film of Darius Slayton to have a stronger opinion, and I'll do that sometime before free agency. But the idea of Darius Slayton is one that I like and one that fits a lot here, because I think one thing that Washington missed at times last year opposite Terry was someone who could stretch the field vertically as well. And when Diami got in there late in the season and he proved that he could do that a little bit more, I was like, oh, I mean, the Detroit game, the tape is wild. To watch the speed, and once Diami like really got going in that offense, the speed at which Diami and Terry could operate across from each other, some of these deep crossing routes, the ability to clear out, have Terry come underneath it, or the other way around, Terry to clear out, Diami to come on a high cross underneath it. Like those speed type of plays that need to happen with guys that run sub 4.45, because if not, the routes take too long to develop, and that's how you get your chunk plays. Those guys that run that sub 4.45 and can make the catches down the field, they're really, really, really important. And Darius Slayton can do that stuff. Now, is he the most complete receiver? No. But he does a lot of stuff really well. He, I think, is not going to cost crazy money. Like, is he going to be as cheap as Alamide Zaccheaus was last year? I don't know. But if you tell me I can get Darius Slayton, I'm trying to think of a guy who would cost like 20, I don't know. Like, would I rather have, and again, we absolutely loved having Diami on the show. I have a lot of admiration for the way Diami stuck with it and do this stuff. So I don't want this to turn into a bash Diami Brown thing. But if somehow Diami Brown is going to be a 12 or $11 million player, a $13 million player, let's say he's 11. Let's even make it the cheapest version, right, in this range. He's 11. And I can get Darius Slayton for 4. I will take that $7 million in savings and apply it to another really good football player, or making sure that I don't lose Ertz or Wagner or Jeremy Chinn or one of these other guys I want to re-sign. Give me that $7 million in savings. I'm not going to get $7 million more in production from Diami Brown than I am Darius Slayton. So Slayton is a guy who I love as a target for Washington. Debo's a different case because Debo's also so in his own box. Debo Samuel's position is Debo Samuel. Like, is he part receiver? Yes. Is he part running back? Yes. Is he jet sweep gadget guy? Yes. Like, he just does so many things. Obviously, he fits what they want from an attitude standpoint because, you know, Adam had him in San Francisco. So as long as his head's still on straight, and I think Adam would have a good feel for that, I think you're fine. And some of the stuff that was going back and forth, I mean, San Francisco kind of jerked him around on the contract stuff the last couple of years. And there was a lot of turmoil in that receiver room when it comes to contracts. So I'm not going to hold too much of that against Debo. I know when he's out there, he plays really hard. He's super, super physical. And so if they decide that one of the ways they can help Jaden and add some real pop in this offense is to get Debo, and they're pretty sure that he's still got that, maybe it's 90% of what it was at his peak, but 90% of Debo Samuel is still a useful piece in an offense, depending on what it costs. Because that's the other thing. Does Debo want to get paid, or is Debo going to come here for $10 million and be a really useful piece? Because if that's the case, then I definitely am interested if they cut him. I don't know that I want to give up any draft capital and have to pay him. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. More of your calls on how the Commanders can supplement their receiving room next. 5 o'clock, we talk to J.I. Halsell about the NFL's salary cap coming in for a second year in a row, much higher than expected. What's the impact on the league? What's the impact on the Commanders? And for the Commanders, we're looking right now at how they can fill their receiver room. Looks like Chris Godwin, T. Higgins, amongst the options that are going to be off the table for Washington, as Higgins has been tagged in Cincinnati. And Godwin and the Bucs have agreed to move the void date for his contract, which is a very technical thing. But what it allows them to do is have a longer exclusive negotiating window, which they are in right now. And they can hopefully, if they're them, work out a long-term deal to keep Godwin in Tampa. So what are the other options? What are the ones that intrigue you? 301-230-0980. Let's keep things rolling on the phones with Noel in Chicago. Noel, thanks for calling as always. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. How are you doing? Good afternoon.
Thanks, man. Doing well.
Thank you. I think for the potential wideouts, I'm keeping a close eye on cuts, and I'm really interested in Christian Kirk if he gets cut by Jacksonville, because I think Cliff loves him, and I think he fits the culture of what they're trying to do really, really well. I've always liked Christian Kirk, and I think he'd be a really good number two. I think his contract right now is $24 million. I wouldn't want to trade for him, but if he got cut, that would be awesome. And keeping an eye on Cooper Kupp, too, and again, like, hoping that he might get cut, because I don't want to trade for him either, because that's very, very expensive. So sign a free agent outright, the only guy that I really like that I would want on the cheap is Tyler Boyd. I think he's a free agent, and he's a big body kind of guy. I don't think he'd be a great number two, but he would be the perfect number three. And I'm just hoping that if either Kupp or Kirk get cut, that we should pounce on either of those two guys immediately. And this is all assuming that we re-sign Zach Ertz, and I think everything else should be, all the energy should be addressed toward rebuilding the defensive line and then adding to the offensive line. So hoping that we do that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great call, and those are some good names, and I think you've got the order of operations right too. Like, I think re-signing Ertz is critical. Because
absolutely,
I think that,
yeah,
and it's because he's Jaden's safety blanket, and he was target number two last year. So, Noel, that's a great shout. Thanks for the call. And to hit on a couple of these names, thanks, dude. Christian Kirk is absolutely someone I would go after, and someone that I would spend, not like he's, again, I agree with Noel. I don't want to spend $24 million on him. I don't want to take on his contract. I'm not trading for him, anything like that. But if he gets out on the free agent market, and I can get Christian Kirk for 13, 14 million even. I would love to get him closer to 10 to 12. But if he winds up in the 14, 15 million range, I would consider it. He's that talented. And he has the history with Cliff, and where he was awesome for Cliff in Arizona. He can play inside, outside. He has real vertical speed. I think Christian Kirk would be a fantastic fit in Washington. Tyler Boyd is an interesting one as well. Like, when you talk about a guy that you might be able to get when you go bargain shopping, I mean, Boyd last year made like 1.something million. I mean, this is a guy that was really good in Cincinnati as their number three. He's getting up there in age. That is the only thing. This is going to be his age 31 season. Last year, he started 8 games in Tennessee. He had 57 targets, 39 catches. But he is 6'2", so he's got a little bit of size. And if I'm remembering, these names, I haven't watched all these guys a ton recently, obviously, but my Tyler Boyd file mentally includes that he blocks pretty well and is like very physical. So that seems to fit the mold. And so if you're getting him on the Alameda Zaccheaus deal, like, is he your wide receiver too? No. But as you think about rounding out the receiver room around Terry, around Luke, around whoever else, like, I think that is absolutely a great name to shout out if he becomes available. And I'm pretty sure he's a free agent. I just looked at his contract, and now I don't have it up anymore. But I'm pretty sure he signed a one-year deal in Tennessee last year. So that he should be available. Now, just real quickly, the wide receiver class in the draft, and we'll get back to the calls in a second because I know there's some more calls coming in with some other free agent and or trade names. But Tre'Toria McMillan's the number one guy, not in the Travis Hunter category, right? Hunter's in his own. Is he a DB? Is he a wide receiver? He's just Travis Hunter. Tre'Toria McMillan, big, tall dude out of Arizona. He's everyone's number, or most people, I should say, is number two receiver. Luther Burden III is a real interesting guy. He's got big Curtis Samuel. I think Debo's a bigger body. I think Debo, even going back to South Carolina, like, I imagine Debo in that USC uniform, like, is a thicker dude than Luther Burden is. I also got questions on the, I won't say on the character, but like the competitive character front. Like, he definitely gets after it, but like sometimes it's out of control. He had one game early in the year where he picked up two personal foul penalties in the same game for taunting and just unsportsmanlike conduct nonsense. And I am very curious when I go to the combine next week, if I start asking around on him, if there's some other stuff with him, where he might not have the commander tag and thus not be an option for them. Or is that like, no, actually he's super competitive and he will have that tag. So I don't know yet, but Burden, I also don't think is going to be available for Washington at 29. The group that starts to become available for Washington potentially at 29 probably starts with Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. And I actually watched a little bit of him this morning. He's just solid. Like, he's not special in any way. At least when I'm watching him, like, nothing pops off the tape. He's 6'1", 205, so there's nothing special in terms of the size, weight. He just reliably catches, like, the more I watch him, the more, like, I get it. He just catches football after football. He has some vertical speed. There's a screen he takes against Marshall for, like, 70 yards, but no one touches him. He just outruns everybody, but it's against Marshall. And they have one dude who's going to go in the first round, but he's an edge. He's not a, you know, their defensive backs are not the fastest. So, you got him. Matthew Golden, probably off the board before Washington, but who knows? Wide receiver out of Texas, 6'195". Like, how many 6'195" guys do they really want? Elik Eomanaor. Apologies, the beast with Dame Brugler and all the pronunciations aren't out yet, so I'm just learning these guys. But 6'2", 210 out of Stanford. Okay, like Logan, I talked about him a little bit this morning. Interesting, but not crazy. Logan's big on Jack Beck. A little bit bigger, 6'2", 215, plays like an animal out of TCU. He's interesting. Now we're starting to get in some guys that probably a little rich for 29, but like, are they going to be available at 61? Xavier Restrepo out of Miami, 5'10", 198, but got some more elite traits in terms of the quickness and things like that. Had 1,100 yards his last 2 years at Miami. Jaden Higgins, I know some folks in the YouTube chat brought him up. Bigger guy. 6'4", 215, now we're talking. Jalen Royals. And then the guy that Logan absolutely loves, got just crazy excited talking about him this morning, is Savion Williams out of TCU. Listed here at 6'5", 225, but he's played some running back. So, like, imagine a Debo Samuel-type player, but he's 6'5". And he's still learning receiver on some level, like some of the ball tracking and stuff. But, like, that gets crazy interesting. And then there's some other guys, you know, Isaiah Bond, Tez Johnson, Trey Harris. You're getting more like third round type of grades. But there are some pieces in this draft that are interesting, but the receiver class is certainly nowhere close to where it was last year, where you had three elite dudes at the top and depth way into the third, even fourth round of guys that some teams like really, really, really like. All right, let's keep it rolling on the calls. We got time for maybe one more. Oh, let's go to Reggie in DC. Reggie, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, love the show as always.
Appreciate it.
I think we're putting too much emphasis on like that number, you know, air quote, well, it isn't an air quote, but number two. I think the boy Golden in Texas is a burner. I look at Detroit's offense, right? Look at their skill position. Jameson Williamson is a speedster. He's not going to be running routes. That's St. Brown. So I'm thinking, like, okay, if we get somebody that can just take the top off, that if you start to cheat a little bit over to Terry, he's gone, and then you get a good tight end. I thought it was going to be Sennett. Maybe it could be that can get that yak after catch and then get a game breaker. It's about, I think you hear all the mocks, it's about 30 running backs that they're talking about that can be, you know, that's going to come in. Give me a game breaker. Give me, again, you're not going to find a Jahmyr Gibbs, but give me somebody like him. And then now we can really focus on the O-line. And Craig, we're cooking. I just need a burner. Somebody that, again, if you make a mistake, he's going to hit his head on the goalpost. A tight end that I love Ertz. I want to keep him, but a tight end that.
But he needs an understudy this year. About, and yeah, for sure.
Yeah, think about like some of the catches Ertz was making, right? A good young tight end, you know, hopefully could have been Sennett, but would have made probably another 10 or 15 yards after the catch like the young Ertz in Philly would have done. Then right. That game breaker in the backfield. I think that's the way I would look at it. So I want to look at the Abuka. I like the guy from Ohio State. I like him, but everybody keeps comparing him to Jackson, which is a great comparison. But I think the boy Golding maybe going to run about a 4.3.
Well, and if that's the thing, Reggie, right? And unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I gotta let you run, Reggie, okay, but great stuff, and definitely look forward to talking to you more as draft season goes here. Like, next week changes everything, right? This time a year ago, if you had told me Xavier Worthy was going to be a first-round pick, I'd been like, you're – like, I know he's fast, but come on. And then he goes and breaks the combine record in the 40, and it's like, oh, no, if he's got that kind of speed – like, 4.3 fast and 4.22 fast are different. That gets you drafted in the first round, right? I mean, think of the kid who had – John Ross, who had it before Worthy. He wasn't a first-round receiver. It was like, maybe, I don't know. That dude got a top 10 pick because he broke the combine record, I believe, back in the day for the Bengals. So you got the testing, which for, I think, obviously the 40 is the sexy one. And for receivers, that matters. Like if Golden goes out and runs a 4.31, that's going to change the conversation around this receiver class. Great. Fine. Let's go see it happen. But you also have the arm length measurements for the O linemen. Guy that we think has 32.5-inch arms comes out with 34-inch arms. It's like, oh, he's got that kind of length? We can work with that. That dude went from like, guard tackle to like, that dude's a tackle. Let's go get him. In a draft where there's a ton of those guard tackle hybrids. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out, I would say, over the next 2 weeks. Obviously, there's a lot of media that happens in the draft or at the combine early in the week, which is why we'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday. But by the time I get back on Friday, we'll have started to get some of the measurements in and the workouts are starting to begin. And the week after, we'll have all that stuff in and we'll be able to talk about this draft a lot more intelligently. Logan and I did a big mock draft 1.0. We wound up talking about a lot of these names in depth, including a lot of the receivers that you can check out on Take Command. Tomorrow morning is where you catch that in your podcast feed, so make sure you're subscribed to Take Command. Thanks for all the calls. Maybe get back to some more later on in the show, but we're going to keep things moving on the free agency side of it next with maybe the biggest news that we'll get that affects the whole league. The salary cap is in. It is much higher than expected. So what do we do with that information? Jack Halsell is an NFL agent and salary cap analyst, and he joins us next.